You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A record immigration jump of 96,000 people during the first half of this year has sparked both hopes and fears for our economy. To get to the bottom of this, I got two perspectives. One seeing how the jump would affect consumers, and another seeing how it would affect businesses. First, I spoke to economist Dr. Curtin Lees. We spoke about housing availability, the super visa, and the cost of living. Here is that piece now. How are the shortages in the housing and rental markets likely to be affected by the additional 96,000 workers immigrating to New Zealand?
Yeah, sure. So we know from a whole bunch of work by the Reserve Bank and others that when migrants do come to New Zealand, like everyone else, they will look for housing, and in the short term that means renting, and then a little bit further down the track that means looking for a house as well. So more migrants means that house prices will go up. If you think about maybe a 1% increase in migration or net migration, previous work says that house prices might go up by something like 8%.
Are the additional workers good for the economy? How about in relation to inflation?
Yeah, additional workers are good for a whole bunch of reasons. One of those reasons is if we think about kind of the fiscal position or debt position, you know, we took on a whole bunch of debt around the COVID period. And if we have more people, that kind of shares the load, and we've got more people paying more tax to pay off some of that debt we took on across COVID. But also, if you think about migrants, you know, they're there paying tax, but we don't need to pay for the education. So we can get that kind of a break. So that's one kind of benefit from migrants. Second sort of set of benefits is the skills and networks migrants bring. So firms will want to bring in migrants because they don't have the same skills as workers in New Zealand. And that means that they can increase the productivity of some firms, and also their networks mean they might have some more opportunities to kind of sell goods or open new markets overseas. So that's another way that migrants are good for the economy.
What are the biggest draws for migrants coming to New Zealand?
Yeah, so generally most migrants are coming for economic reasons. They see opportunity, they see a potential to thrive in an environment that where they live currently, they might not have the same opportunities. They've got some skills that are wanted. And so when they move to an environment that can kind of make the most of those skills, you know, they get a better wage than they would otherwise. And so there's an economic reason for a lot of migration decisions. Sometimes we see a little bit of people moving for family reasons. For example, if you think about Auckland, a lot of people kind of report one great thing about Auckland is I get to live close to the family. So there might be a brother, sister, mother or father. We kind of see some patterns around migration that kind of support being close to family. And also the lifestyle. So, you know, there's a lot of good things about New Zealand that are not always true of everywhere that migrants come from.
With the record high cost of living, how are costs expected to be affected by rising immigrant numbers?
Yeah, it's a great question. Eh? I mean, the net migration has been so strong, much stronger than we've seen in the past, well, seen in recent times. But there's two sides of the coin. So on the one hand, the labour market is super tight, so we've never had as many New Zealanders employed. And migration can kind of release some of the bottlenecks. So firms are really good at going, well, if I only had one or two people, here's how I'd be able to improve my supply chain. Then I'd be able to provide goods and services to the market at a lower cost than I can do right now. And so prices would come down a little bit. But of course, the flip side to that is migrants demand goods and services. So they want, you know, some of the things that New Zealanders want. So you'd expect a little bit of demand pressure from people coming into the country. In the past, that has increased inflation, but it's sort of yet to play out on the labour market side of things in terms of whether we'd see that kind of the extent to which those bottlenecks would reduce from being able to bring in more people.
How is Labour's plan to allow parents and grandparents of residents a 10-year stay going to affect the economy?
Yeah, there's a couple of things there. So I think, you know, you're doing those kinds of policies, perhaps not directly for the economic reasons why we might see migration, but you're thinking about a in terms of a more sort of stable migrant pool. And, you know, on balance, we know migration is kind of good for the economy, and it, you know, I don't want to over-egg that argument, but, you know, there's a lot of research that points to kind of small benefits from migration to the incumbent population. So migrants benefit, but also the people within New Zealand benefit just because the economy kind of ticks over a little bit more. So I'd see that as kind of a supporting package of policies to a broader kind of thinking around a points-based migration system.
What sort of policies are important when attracting skilled workers to the country?
Yeah, so I think so I know it's really tempting to go, well, if only we could have these people, if only we could have the really high-skilled people. But I think firms and workers are really good at seeing what's happening in their local environment, what are the types of people and skills they need. And central government is just too far away. They're too distant from those little decisions to work out how many people of what kind of type. And that just puts too many lags in the system. So we're far better off to let workers and firms kind of work out what types of people and when, rather than having central government decree that it should be X number of these types of people. I think the more that we can get away from that, the better our migration policy can be.
Are there any particular policies to look out for when it comes to immigration this election?
Yeah, I think we want to get away from a sense of we want to grow the population by 1% or 2% or 3%. You know, I think that's a very kind of dangerous world where we get into a population policy and it sets a particular target for the population or particular growth rate. I just go back to firms and workers being really good at working out what types of people they need and the opportunities they can create. And we simply can't kind of stem the outflow. So we would never prevent New Zealanders kind of leaving. So kind of a population policy where we try and grow the population at 1%, it's very difficult to think about how you would actually implement that kind of a policy. So let's try and steer away from particular specific population policies and let firms and workers get on doing with what they do.
Next, I spoke to barrister and contributor to the Indian Weekender, Dave Ananth. We spoke about the effect of rising immigration on businesses and about policy to attract the best migrants to our country. Here is that piece now. With nearly 100,000 new immigrants coming to the country, how are businesses likely to be affected?
Now, businesses in New Zealand from Queenstown to Auckland need workers. You can see there's a massive shortage of workers, especially in the F&B sector. I've been talking to clients on the ground. There are not many staff willing to work locally. So I think with the immigrants coming in, we need the workers to maintain our businesses, to keep the doors open, to make sure the takeaways, the restaurants, and other businesses in the manufacturing sector continue to do business in New Zealand, Avo.
How do businesses attract the best talent to come to New Zealand?
Now, in terms of talent, Avo, you need to provide something to the immigrants. For example, easier processes of work visas. There's another country which provides tourist visa for a tourist to come in for 6 months and look for work. So we need to attract talent, unlike the other countries across the Tasman. We need to make sure that our policies are attractive. At the moment, they are not attractive. I'll just give you an example. The government fees for a standard accreditation is $750 for, I think, one of your questions. And in the email was getting a qualified worker accredited. Job check application is $610, and the work visa is $750. Before even the work visa and all that is issued, just government fees alone is just over $2,000. And if you include, you know, either the advisor's fee or the solicitor's fee, it can go up to $6,000. So to me, that is quite expensive.
What does New Zealand need to do to make sure we don't fall behind to emerging countries in Asia and the likes of India?
we need to market more. And this is exactly what me and my team and the firm has been doing. We have we engage with embassies. We go out and market to Southeast Asia, countries like Indonesia, Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand, Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia. These are emerging markets which New Zealand has not paid a lot of attention. Just to give you an example, today, this evening, we have organized a Waikato-based genetics company to have a conversation with Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates. Now, how did we do that? We did that through our connections with the embassy in Wellington. Now, we need to up our ante, because if we don't, we are going to be left far behind.
With already low housing availability likely to be affected by rising immigration numbers, do we need to increase tax for foreign home buyers? What else can we do to ensure housing availability?
In terms of housing, there has been a lot of talk, but no action, unfortunately, Arvo. Again, we need to partner with either local developers or foreign ones to bring in latest technology in housing. The housing market needs to be looked at with very expensive resource consents by council. A whole revamp needs to be undertaken in this area.
And what do you think about raising taxes?
It's not a good time to raise taxes. There's quite a few businesses are struggling. People are struggling. Prices, inflation is very high. You can go out to the supermarket these days and look at the prices of goods and vegetables. They are very costly. So it is not a good time to increase taxes. In fact, it's a good time to lower your tax bracket.
Finally, this year, a number of stores, especially liquor stores, were reported as underpaying migrant workers. What are the main things to look out for when migrants could be exploited?
I think when I looked at the exploitation of migrants, it really worries me, Arvo. I think what the migrants need to do is do a little bit of their own investigation before they accept a job offer, before they come in line. Go and look at who the advisors are, who the employers are, before they take a flight to come over. And there's no way people should pay 20, 30 grand to get a job in New Zealand. That is absolutely ridiculous. So besides banning the cultured employers, I think the employees, potential employees, should also do their homework.
That was Dr. Curtin Lees and Dave Ananth on record immigration numbers in New Zealand.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.